KUOW podcasts are made possible by listener support. Become a new or renewing member today at KUOW.org.
Well, we don't have Julia Child, but we do have Shauna Ahern, the gluten-free girl. She's going to talk to us a little later, about 40 minutes from now, about how to have a Thanksgiving festival gluten-free. You know, some turkeys got a little gluten in them. We'll find out how that works. We're also going to talk about sharing that Thanksgiving feast. We'll talk to the folks at the food bank, find out what their needs are this season, what you can do. And rounding it out, we're going to talk to the three interfaith amigos about gratitude. Katie Sewell takes a little bit of gratitude and Thanksgiving up with those folks. And from you, some stories of your happiest memory, your healthiest, your most successful, and your horrible Thanksgiving story. You know, the memory that you can still conjure up and laugh at, perhaps, after all these years. All that, plus much more, coming up today on Weekday on KUOW Seattle.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh. Israel says if a long-term solution to the Gaza crisis can be established through diplomatic means, then Israel would be a willing partner. But Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said after talks with visiting UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon that Israel would not hesitate to escalate its offensive if Hamas rocket attacks persist. Ban urged Israel not to do that.
Israel must exercise maximum restraint. I strongly caution against a ground operation.
Ban has also condemned the barrage of rocket attacks from Hamas militants in Gaza. Syrian Islamist groups say they want an Islamic State in the key battleground city of Aleppo. These groups reject the new Western-backed political opposition, now officially recognized by France, Arab Gulf states, and welcomed by the European Union. NPR's Deborah Amos has more from southern Turkey.
This first major rejection, posted on YouTube, reflects a split within the Free Syrian Army. Many rebel groups fight under the FSA banner. A spokesman downplayed the statement. Political leaders reached in Aleppo say radicals don't represent the major fighting force in the city and point out that many other powerful rebel groups support the new political opposition and the new leader, a popular Damascus cleric, Moaz Khatib. Still, the influence of radicals has grown, especially in Aleppo. After more than 4 months of fighting there, the new coalition was formed to blunt their influence. France was the first European government to back the new opposition, setting the momentum for additional aid and international support. Deborah Amos, NPR News, Erfa.
Warren Rudman, a moderate Republican and former senator from New Hampshire, died last night at the age of 82. NPR's David Wellner reports Rudman may be most remembered for his efforts on Capitol Hill to curtail budget deficits.
Warren Rudman arrived in the U.S. Senate nearly 32 years ago on the same Republican wave that carried Ronald Reagan to the White House. During his 12 years at the Capitol, Rudman served as vice chairman on the panel that investigated the Reagan administration's illegal arms sales known as Iran-Contra. He also co-sponsored the Graham-Rudman-Hollings deficit reduction bill in the mid-1980s that sought to curtail record budget shortfalls. Despite threatening automatic spending cuts similar to the ones the nation currently faces, the measure had little lasting effect. Rudman later served on a bipartisan panel that warned in the late 1990s that the U.S. had become increasingly vulnerable to hostile attack. David Wellner, NPR News, the Capitol.
It doesn't matter if you win or lose.
The Sesame Workshop says Kevin Clash, the voice behind Elmo, has resigned amid allegations he had a sexual relationship with a minor. Clash denies any wrongdoing, but according to the statement, the network believed his presence would be an unwanted distraction. You're listening to NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from the Annie E. Casey Foundation, celebrating National Adoption Month and promoting lifelong families for all children at aecf.org.
Support for KUOW comes from GET, Washington's Guaranteed Education Tuition Program.
Clouds and showers in Seattle, 49 degrees right now in the U District. Forecast says cloudy and breezy today, chance of rain this morning, then rain likely later this afternoon, the high getting up to 52. Clouds and showers tonight and tomorrow. Tonight's low in the mid-40s. Tomorrow's high in the upper 40s.
You probably would never suspect that a turkey could contain gluten, but you'll find that some of the less expensive turkeys will have fillers.
That was the worst thing I've ever put in my mouth. This loaf from hell, I'm not sure what it was called, but we never tried that again.
What kind of a Thanksgiving dinner is this? Where's the turkey, Chuck? Don't you know anything about Thanksgiving dinners? Where's the mashed potatoes? Where's the cranberry sauce? Where's the pumpkin pie?
Man, Lucy always has a complaint, doesn't she? Today on the show, we're going to get your Lucy's, your Charlie Brown's, your stories of Thanksgiving. We're going to collect your phone calls and have you share them with us. Your disasters, your horror stories, but also the the wonderful times that come when the folks gather around the big table and share a feast. Our number is 206-543-5869, 1-800-289-5869. I'd like to get your stories of Thanksgivings gone well or awry, foods that have tasted great or have been the most horrible thing you've ever put in your mouth, or when Lucy went out in the backyard and once again lifted up that football for Charlie Brown. 206-543-5869, 1-800-289-5869. Like to get your calls, like to hear from you. Speaking of sharing this holiday season, though, as you know, this holiday season, many people are looking to share their bounty, and there are people who need that sharing. Northwest Harvest collects and distributes food to more than 350 food banks, schools, and meal programs, providing over 1.7 every month. Andrea Flatley is communications manager for the Northwest Harvest. Andrea Flatley, what's that,
1.7 million.
Million meals every month. I thought so.
Yes, and that's with the help of those 350-plus partner programs that you talked about. We couldn't do it without them or our volunteers. And the need has just been crazy. That was really emphasized yesterday when it was just downpouring in the Seattle area, and we had lines up and around the block for the Cherry Street Food Bank for about 3 hours or so.
Compare it to last year, or, I don't know, 2005, if you have your memory. I mean, has this recession continued to linger for people in need?
We definitely have not seen that need level off. Since 2008, the need has doubled. We're not growing at the same pace we were right when, you know, kind of that peak of that was. But we have not leveled off, and people are definitely still in need, you know. And there's even some new people in need who, you know, maybe they've been able to make ends meet, but they just haven't been able to get a job, or finally those bills have just all been too much, and they just need something to help them feed their families this holiday season.
Are there any holes in your ability to distribute around the region, or is pretty much every community covered this year?
We cover 37 of 39 counties here in Washington. There are definitely, counties that are harder. It's much easier here in King County, where everyone's kind of concentrated into one area, and then much harder in north central Washington, where there's lots of miles in between places. You know, it takes clients a little bit more effort to be able to get to places, so they're having to spend gas just to get food, whereas here they could possibly walk or take the bus. You know, so there definitely are still struggles, but we do what we can and work with those programs to really alleviate those issues for clients and really help make sure that they're still getting the food they need.
This is a little off, but why are there two counties that aren't covered? What's happening in those two areas?
Well, and I actually asked our partner programs the same thing. Our partner programs do have to kind of agree to work with us and certain standards that we hold, one of those being that we give food freely to anyone hungry enough to ask. Some other programs do require a little bit more information. So that's one thing that sometimes limits people. It also sometimes, there just aren't other food banks already established in those areas. So, and that's what a lot of it is, because it's kind of rural areas that aren't as covered or don't have as many food banks and meal programs.
Andrea Flatley is communication manager for Northwest Harvest. So from the rest of us who have, what do you need?
Well, we, can always take your monetary or food donations if your company is willing to host a food drive this season. We've got information on our website about how to do that. If you guys would like to, come and volunteer, and your listeners, want to get a group together and volunteer this holiday season, you can sign up on the website. If you want to even just get a financial pool together, we can do a lot with a dollar. We have great buying power, and we can feed a family of three for 67 cents. So really, anything helps. whatever you can scrape together this holiday season, we can put to great use. And we actually have a program, a Hunger Stops Here challenge going on right now. So actually every dollar you donate, if you specify you want it to be part of the Hunger Stops Here challenge, it will be matched dollar for dollar up to $250,000. So
that's
a great way. Yeah, that's kind of, some extra holiday giving this year.
Who's matching it?
We have just some seed donors that think that, you know, what we do is super important, and they wanted to provide that seed money to be able to match.
We understand that concept here. I get that concept.
Yeah. So it's a great, great thing. And, I know my mom even sent in some stuff from money from Wisconsin just to be part of that matching program. So
I see. So, and in terms of when people are collecting, when food's being distributed, when meals that people take home being distributed, what's happening in the next few days?
Well, we've got this year for Thanksgiving, we're doing whole chickens. Each year we go around to each of our community partners and kind of get feedback from them on what the clients like, what worked for them. So some feedback we got from last year led us to distribute whole chickens this year. So we've got those going out tomorrow along with some fresh fruits and vegetables. We just got a wonderful banana and orange donation from Full Circle in this area, as well as we always work to make sure that there is fresh fruits and vegetables, as well as many frozen, but a huge quantity of that. We send out about 70% fruits and vegetables is the food we distribute. So we're handing that out. We also, tomorrow at the Cherry Street Food Bank, we've got coffee for clients. So we're hoping the downpour isn't quite as bad as it was yesterday morning around here, but we're doing that to try and keep them warm. And you know, we usually have coffee, choice of decaf or, you know, regular for clients to pick up too. And then tomorrow we also, our sandwich brigade here at Cherry Street is making kind of a special cranberry and cream cheese topping for the turkey sandwiches that we hand out with the sack lunches here. So, and then I was down at one of our partner programs the other week, and they were handing out some fresh broccoli and fresh green beans to go with those whole chickens as well. So kind of depending on the area, you know, things are a little different, but fresh fruits and vegetables for sure to complement those chickens for chicken Thanksgiving dinner this year.
Well, Andrea Flatley, I appreciate you talking to us. It sounds like you guys have a lot of work to do, but a lot of folks are ready to go.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time. And, yeah, anyone who wants to help out in those ways that I mentioned, northwestharvest.org is where
right.
You can find us.
Yes, and we'll have that up on our website, our Facebook page. Andrea Flatley is Communication Manager for Northwest Harvest. They collect and distribute food, more than 350 food banks, schools, meal programs, 1.7 million meals every month around this state. Something you can do. By the way, I asked for your stories about Thanksgiving, your happy, your horror stories, and we had played a little bit of Charlie Brown Christmas. And everybody called us. That wasn't Lucy, Steve. That was Peppermint Patty. I forgot my Charlie Brown specials. Yes, that was Peppermint Patty yelling at Charlie Brown, not Lucy. Lucy would never do that, right? Lucy would never do that. Well, what are your stories for Thanksgiving? Our number is 206-543-5869, 1-800-289-5869. The happy, the healthy, the horror. Maybe you spend your time sharing. Maybe you spend your time donating and distributing meals at one of the 350 food banks and meal programs that we were just hearing about. Or maybe you prepare a big meal for your family and it all went awry. Or it always goes good. Ellie in Bellevue, you had some duck issues. Is that right?
I had a serious duck issue. A friend of mine and I decided the first year we were both married that we would show our husbands a grand gourmet meal, and we were not going to do turkey. So we decided we would do a duck, and there had been a picture on the cover of a fancy cooking magazine, and it was put in baker's clay, and you put this duck in the clay, and then you painted it with watercolors, and we were both teachers, so we thought this was a great craft thing, and you put a little bit of an orange can on the front, and then you made it like a beak, and so when it came out, it looked like a duck. So we did it, and when it came out, it was all done. But we couldn't get the duck out of the baker's clay because the baker's clay was so hard. So then we looked at the picture and we realized they had a big mallet in the picture, and all we had was this tiny little kitchen hammer. So we then went about attacking it with this tiny little kitchen hammer, pieces of clay flying all over our tiny little apartment kitchen. And we finally got the duck out. And then we realized that we also didn't know how to buy duck, that there was just enough for two people.
I hope you guys took pictures of whacking at that clay thing.
It was quite mad. It really was.
That's good. See, I knew we're gonna have stories like that.
Yes.
Things always seem to go a little awry, but things worked out in the end, right? You still had a fine feast.
The vegetables were excellent.
Ellie, thanks a lot. I appreciate you calling. All right, Ellie starts us off. Your Thanksgiving happy giving, healthy horror stories. We'll take a quick break and get some more of your stories in here. Our number is 206-543-5869, 1-800-289-5869. And, of course, email weekday at KUOW.org and share your stories on our Facebook page, Weekday on KUOW.
Good morning, it's 9:16. This is 94.9 KUOW Seattle, news and information. Hey, speaking of Thanksgiving, coming up a little bit later, everything you need to know about preparing a gluten-free Thanksgiving meal. Gluten-free girl, blogger, and author Shauna Ahern joins us. That's in about 20 minutes.
Support for KUOW comes from Walker's Renton Subaru, where Pacific Northwest adventures begin. New and used vehicle inventory and information online at RentonSubaru.com or at Exit 2 off 405 in Renton. Subaru. Think. Feel. Drive.
Clouds and showers, 49 degrees in Seattle. We're expecting a high today of 52. Forecast says chance of rain this morning. Rain increasing a little bit later today. Clouds and showers expected tonight and tomorrow. Tonight's low in the mid-40s. Tomorrow's high in the upper 40s.
This is Weekday. Katie Sewell walked in and threw a big old turkey, a big old Tom, into the studio with me. He's walking around right now. Lovely feathers. Lovely feathers, if I may say so myself, Mr. Tom. You look very good. Yeah, so he's going to be wandering around the studio while we're having this conversation about your Thanksgiving feast, your funny stories, your horror stories, maybe the lessons learned at this reflective time of the year. It's all cool. Just relax there, Tom. Kathy is in Snohomish. Hi, Snohomish. Hi, Kathy.
You can say hi to Snohomish.
Hi, Snohomish. Yeah.
So I was in charge of making the stuffing for the first time. I think I was 11 or 12. We have a big family, and for some reason, I made the stuffing the night before, and my dad was in charge of stuffing the turkey and getting it in the oven because the family wasn't going to be around in the morning. And we're all sitting down to dinner, and we're eating the stuffing, and my brothers, older than me, turn to me and go, "What did you do to this? This is horrible." I'm like, "I followed the recipe. There's nothing." And my dad was sitting at the end of the table getting redder and redder, and I turned to dad. I go, "What did you do?" And he's all, "Well, you know, it didn't look like enough, so I added some of the cake donuts that were sitting around out on the counter." Seriously? It was a half a dozen cake donuts in my stuffing the first time I ever made it. The chickens had a feast that night.
It does sound like it would just be wrong.
You could see the little sprinkles still in there. I mean, it was just, oh, my gosh. It was so sweet. It was incredibly sweet.
Oh, all right. That's good. Thanks, Dad. I appreciate that. Thanks, Kathy. And thanks, Snohomish, as well. Yeah, I know. Do you like the stuffing in there, Tom? Do you think that's good? Yeah, not so much, huh? All right. Carolyn's in Seattle. Oh, the Whidbey Island Thanksgiving storm story, huh? Carolyn, you ran into that?
Yes, I actually live in Indianola now.
Ah.
But back then, it was sometime in the 70s, there was a huge storm on Thanksgiving, and I had a big old farmhouse I lived in up there, and I invited my mom and my brothers and sisters and their families, and I worked at the U and had a lot of foreign students that couldn't go home on those holidays, so I invited them too, and had this gigantic turkey, and everything was going fine, 7 courses planned, and the storm wiped out all the electricity. And fortunately, there was an old outhouse on the property, and I had a roommate who was paralyzed, and we had a bathroom, a special bathroom, that he could wheel his wheelchair into the shower. And so as we progressed, we started cooking on the wood stoves I had in the house, and I had an old field camp stove out in the yard that we cranked up out in the fire pit outside with the branches flying by everyone's head. And we just kept cooking and cooking and got through five of the courses and kept piling the dishes up in this shower. And my mother pulled out her accordion, and we lit up the candles and the lanterns and danced and played games. And people to this day say that it was the most memorable Thanksgiving they ever had. Really, really had a good time. And went sledding as well. Snowed, too.
That's very nice. Your mom played the accordion.
Yep, and we, you know, people got pots and pans out, and we had a band going, and it just, I mean, you know, ever since then, I realize how much more fun it is when people just have to sit around and communicate and not get pulled into the TV room to watch the game or just, you know, getting involved in things that take people away from that circle that we had to have because we just had all the light in one room.
Yeah. Shut down the electronics during Thanksgiving. That's a good
Amen.
One. Carolyn,
and
thanks.
One other funny thing, though, was that that Christmas I invited some of the same foreign students, and one of them who'd come at Thanksgiving had brought his sister from Argentina, and the power went out again. And she said, is this how it is in America? She thought it was the land of plenty, and she couldn't understand why we couldn't have enough electricity to cook our meals.
Oh, man. Harbingers of things to come. Let's hope not. All right, Carolyn, thanks a lot. Good story. Tom, do you like that story? Yeah. Tom, the turkey's walking around. You like that story. That was a nice story. So what are your stories? Share your traditions with us, your good traditions, your horror stories. Thanksgiving always brings out some interesting tale, doesn't it? So share that with us. Our number is 206-543-5869, 1-800-289-5869. You can also email us weekday@kuow.org. A few years ago, when Marcy Soman was doing this segment, we had a couple of callers' disaster stories, and they still have us laughing.
You know, I put the turkey in the roasting pan and covered it up and set it right outside the second-story window on top of the garage roof. And I thought, nice and cold there, so it'll stay cold, and then we'll deal with it in the morning, make soup, whatever. We went to bed. We got up the next morning, and that turkey took one last flight. As the frost started to melt in the morning, it slid down the roof, the roasting pan caught on the rain gutter, and that turkey flew out of the pan and was sitting in the front yard. I don't know what the neighbors thought.
We got all the rest of the things on the table, the sweet potatoes and the mashed potatoes and the dressing, and then this loaf came out, and I think it was made of, like, grains and seeds and nuts and stuff. And we each took a small slice, and it absolutely absorbed all of the water in all of our bodies. and we all drank a lot of water, and the rest of the food stayed on the table, and nobody ate again until breakfast the next day. It was the worst thing I've ever put in my mouth. This loaf from hell, I'm not sure what it was called, but we never tried that again.
Marcy Soman, Kenyatta Carter. Carrie Sears, chef, sitting around hearing your great Thanksgiving Day stories. So share some of your traditions with us. Share some of your holiday successes or disasters with us. Meals gone awry or gone well. Maybe you have made the turducken that we always hear about, or Susan Stamberg's cranberry horseradish relish, and it's been well received, as opposed to the stuffing with additional donuts in it, which was not so well received. 206-543-5869, 1-800-289-5869. Say, Tom Turkey, are you okay with all this talk about, you know, turkeys for Thanksgiving? Or does that bother you at all? Or are you good with that? What do you think? Not so good with it. Makes you a little stressed? I understand. I mean, it's the tradition, but I understand. Scott's in Bellevue. Hi, Scott.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Thanks for calling. Well, what, you were in Japan?
I was. Yeah, I lived in Japan for a couple of years in the early 90s, and I was pretty determined to celebrate Thanksgiving in a traditional way, and it was kind of a comedy of errors, which actually turned out okay. I had to take a train across Tokyo to get a turkey. There isn't any turkey, really, in Japan. So I went to the international grocery store, and then I had to bring it back in my backpack, and it was frozen solid. So we had it in the tub, trying to defrost it in time to cook it. And then I did not have an oven, so one of my friends did. So then I had to take it out of the tub and back on the train over to their place and pop it in the oven. And as you can imagine, all the cooking implements are, well, the ovens are small in Japan. And we barely stuffed it into the oven and pretty much toasted the whole top. But, yeah, at the end of the day, it all worked out and turned into a really good and interesting meal. And my Japanese friends, I think, really appreciated it.
The story's stressing out our friend Turkey, Tom Turkey, in the studios here, because you're talking about baking a turkey. But tell me something. What else did you have for Thanksgiving in Japan? Was it all traditional stuff, or did you bring in some Japanese cuisine elements?
Yeah, I think there was a plate of sushi and probably udon.
Yeah. Did they understand the idea of Thanksgiving? Was that a holiday that made sense in Japan, too, time of harvest, Thanksgiving, all that?
It took a certain amount of explaining, you know, particularly the part about people immigrating to the U.S.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I can see that. Oh, and by the way, the natives shared all their food with us. That was nice of them.
Yeah, right.
Hey, Scott, thank you. Thanks for that story.
Thank you.
We're getting your stories on Thanksgiving and Thanksgiving traditions. It seems to be irritating Tom, the turkey that Katie Sewell threw into the studio with me, but Tom, it's okay. It'll be okay. It'll be fine. Beth is in West Seattle. Hello, Beth.
Hi. Well, I wanted to share an experience that happened years ago. We invited a group of friends who happened to be neighbors that lived near us, and we were going to fix the turkey in one of those big ceramic Komodo smokers, you know, those big egg-shaped things. And my husband didn't know how long the turkey should be cooked, so he put it in at about 2 o'clock in the afternoon instead of about 9 o'clock in the morning. And the guests all came around 5 o'clock and brought all of their potluck dishes to go along with the turkey that we were providing. And the turkey wasn't done, and the turkey wasn't done, and we got hungrier and hungrier, and so we began to eat the various side dishes. We finished off the mashed potatoes, and we finished off the stuffing. We finished off the, you know, everything that was there, and we finally ate the dessert, and the turkey still wasn't done. So we told them that we would bring turkey to them in the morning, and we put the turkey in the oven about 10 o'clock at night. And about midnight, the turkey finally was done. And the next morning, we took plates of turkey to our various neighbors. They were, I probably distributed about 5 plates of cooked turkey to these nearby neighbors. And as I came home, I noticed that the back door was open, and I noticed a turkey bone down on the floor. And I discovered that a local dog had wandered in and had taken the rest of the carcass and completely dragged it away, and so we never did get any of that turkey at all.
Well, he was satisfied.
He was satisfied, and the neighbors were satisfied. And from now on, I always put my turkey in a little bit earlier for that reason.
That's, yeah, I understand that. Hey, thanks for that, Beth.
Uh-huh.
Good story. I have to say, though, that story, it upset our friend Tom. Tom Turkey was a little upset by that last, yeah. Yeah, he is. I'll tell you what, Tom, listen. Katie, we're pardoning Tom. Just like the president gets to do that. Tom, you just relax. Thanksgiving. Yeah, very good. He's fine. He's just going to wander the studio, and he's got to have a good Thanksgiving. So we're not going to worry about him. No, it'll be a good Thanksgiving. You'll be fine with that. Yeah. Yeah, he's just going to gobble around. All right, Jackie is in Lake City. How are you, Jackie?
I'm fine, thanks.
Thank you. Your father, what did your father do for roasting a turkey?
Well, let me give you the preamble. My husband and I were just arriving at my parents' 40-acre farm. I did not grow up there. They bought this after I was out of college. As we came down the driveway, we saw my father with a wheelbarrow and another wheelbarrow upended on top of it. And he had a big smile on his face. We knew right away there was a power outage. Daddy was cooking the turkey on coals in the wheelbarrow. We were so amazed. They were so resourceful. It was a fantastic dinner. They also had a camp stove. It cooks like peas and things like that. But Mother had made her pumpkin pies the night before, and so we really were in good shape. And it was really one of the most memorable Thanksgivings I'd ever had.
I think that's great. He had that sort of innovation in mind. That's pretty clever. He did a good job. All right, Jackie, thanks for that. We're getting your, we're just sort of moving our way into tradition by talking about the holiday, by talking about your traditions, your disasters, your success stories, your innovations, your flying turkeys, your dogs that run off with the turkey, your stuffing made with donuts. That might be a whole new line of dressing, donut dressing. Artie's driving a truck. You're just driving a truck, Artie? Are you somewhere near a geographic location we can pin you to?
Well, I'm going up Snoqualmie Pass in a mail truck.
Oh, excellent. Excellent. So, turkey story? Thanksgiving story?
This is 34 years ago, and a young 18-year-old couple being married for 43 days. At that time, my wife decided that she was going to have a big Thanksgiving dinner, just the two of us. And she failed to realize that there's a plastic bag and giblets inside the turkey and cooked it that way. And I enjoy telling that story to my children every year. this year, we're going to my youngest son's house for Thanksgiving. He's 21 and just married about 3 weeks. I'm hoping it doesn't repeat itself.
You never know. He might do it just to keep the tradition alive.
Yeah, well, I hope. The plastic turkeys are not that good.
Yeah, no, they're not that good. They're not good at all. All right, Artie, safe driving. Thank you.
Thank you.
John writes, many years ago, a friend and I were cooking a turkey with one of those buttons that pop up when it's done. We kept looking for the button, that never came up. And after a few hours, we checked the bird. I went to pick up the turkey. It fell into pieces. We finally found the button in the debris, and it looked like an Atlas rocket. We had put it in upside down and never saw it. Oh, I see. It went the wrong way. It went into the turkey. Very good. Lauren's in Bellingham. Lauren, another dog story, huh? Dogs are dangerous around the holidays.
Dogs are really dangerous around the holidays, especially when it's involving friends and family. It can be really embarrassing.
Yeah, I can see that. What was yours?
Well, my first husband, who actually passed away, was in the military, and we were deployed down in South Carolina where he was working, and this was my first Thanksgiving, all on my own, no mom, no sisters, no aunts, nobody to help, and we had all of his buddies from the military were over, all those that couldn't go home. And recently around that time, I had asked my husband if we could get a Great Dane. And he was just adamant, no, they're too big, no, no, no. Well, he finally conceded. We were newly married, so he finally said, okay, yes, you can get this giant horse of an animal. So he let me get this dog, and I prepared the turkey. We had all the food laid out. Turkey came out of the oven. I put it on a platter. I mean, it was like something Pottery Barn Martha Stewart would have envied. And the dog was just milling around. And to my horror, when we took the turkey out, put it on the plate, and we closed our eyes to pray and thank God for a beautiful day, the dog leapt up and threw the turkey to the floor and started inhaling it while all of our eyes were closed. We opened our eyes, my beautiful turkey was being devoured by my giant dog, and needless to say, my husband really didn't like the dog after that, and it was just mortifying. So my next Thanksgiving after that, we made sure the dog was outside.
Oh, but you got to keep him.
Yes, but he had lots of nice nicknames for her that weren't really so nice.
Lauren, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Good story.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you. So here, we'll match dog with cat. Sam's downtown. Hi, Sam.
Hey, how you doing?
Very good. Thanks for calling.
This is a short one. I had just gotten jaw surgery right before this, and my sort of recuperating present was a pair of cats. And so we had these two kittens. They were probably 2 months old, 3 months old. And Thanksgiving rolled around, and my father decided to make the infamous turducken.
Excellent. Somebody took it on, huh?
Oh, my God, is that thing hard to make, and it doesn't turn out well usually.
So what do you got? You got the chicken, and then you got the duck, the chicken, and then the turkey. Is that right?
That's right. The turkey is on the outside, and the chicken is in the middle.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, okay. And then the duck, yeah. All right.
So we're setting up. We have guests over. We're in the dining room setting the table and bringing out all the stuff. And so no one's in the kitchen looking after the turducken, which is sitting on top of the counter. And this three-month-old kitten gets really, really ambitious and climbs on top of the counter when no one is around and manages to drag the turducken off of the counter onto the floor. And it's just sort of easing his way back up. And in the house, we have this little cat door that goes outside, which they had just started using. And so he had managed to drag the turkey halfway across the house, just leaving little dribblings, to the cat door. And by the time we found him, he was trying to pull this thing through the cat door and outside.
That's pretty impressive. A little kitten was able to take on that big bird.
Well, it was on a pan, and so I think it slid pretty well, but it was very impressive.
All right, Sam, a good tale. Yeah, you see, that is the, you know what that is? That is the comeuppance that some turkeys, even in yes, with helps of their animal friends, get. All right, let me say I appreciate your stories, and I hope I hope you all have an excellent and you know, a few slight disasters don't hurt too much, especially the ones that allow us to sit around a table lit with candles and play the accordion. Better than watching the football game sometimes. Nobody complained about their family in any of those stories, because really, it's all lovely when families get together all the time. Katie, you going to come in here and take Tom out? Now that he's been pardoned, Tom will just... Yeah. Tom, you have a happy Thanksgiving. This is Weekday.
Thousands of Mississippi parents drop off their kids at state-subsidized daycare, and they sign in with an electronic fingerprint.
You have to scan your finger, and everybody just, oh, yeah, I bet she's on welfare, and she gets food stamps, you know, just singling people out.
Mississippi's controversial experiment to reduce welfare fraud. Today on All Things Considered from NPR News.
That story and much more today from 3 until 6:30.
Support for KUOW comes from TakeWinterByStorm.org, providing families and their pets preparedness kit tips and plans for where to meet, who to call, and where to stay in case of a weather emergency. Emergency contact cards and family plans online at TakeWinterByStorm.org.
Clouds and rain, 51 degrees in Seattle. We're expecting a high today of 52. Forecast says chance of rain this morning, increasing showers a little bit later today. Clouds and rain expected tonight and tomorrow. Tonight's low in the mid-40s. Tomorrow's high in the upper 40s.
UOW comes from the Seattle Symphony. Presenting the Wyckoff Masterworks Concert, Morlo conducts Mahler's Symphony No. 4 on November 29th and December 1st at Benaroya Hall. Tickets online at seattlesymphony.org.
Say thank you again for sharing your stories about the holidays with us. I appreciate you taking the time to share them. John sent this email, went to the annual vegetarian turkey free potluck at Scottish Rite Temple. Delicious. This was, and then the annual performer, Dana Lyons, watched the cows with guns. He is Cows with Guns, his album. He said Dana Lyons made the night. So Tom was happy that you went to that vegetarian Thanksgiving. If you're thinking about maybe a gluten-free Thanksgiving too, Shauna James Ahern can help. She is the Gluten-Free Girl on her blog and also author of Gluten-Free Girl, How I Found the Food That Loves Me Back and How You Can Too. She joins us on the phone because you got stuck in a little West Seattle bridge traffic, huh, Shauna?
Sorry about that, Steve. I was so excited, and I have pumpkin bread for you on the seat next to me.
Well, you know, feel free.
I can still come by after the interview. I'll bring it by for you.
But that was very nice. See, pumpkin bread, and an excellent gluten-free pumpkin bread, huh?
Absolutely. In fact, what most people don't know is that you don't need gluten for baking, such as for quick breads or muffins. In fact, they're much better without gluten. We're no longer second-class citizens. We're better.
No, that's been happening, isn't it, around the world? People are taking gluten out of all sorts of recipes.
Yeah, you know, I got diagnosed almost 8 years ago, diagnosed with celiac, and it's amazing the amount of information and people getting diagnosed and the amount of products out there now. It really is a very different world.
When you talk about a thing, when you decide to come together with friends on Thanksgiving, you say, look, you know, you could cook a lot of this stuff gluten-free. There are they not just willing and able, but also they have the resources they need to turn all these recipes into gluten-free recipes?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, in fact, my husband and I have been doing a series of videos all of November. So if you want to make any part of the Thanksgiving video, Thanksgiving meal gluten-free, go to glutenfreegirl.com. We've got a video on everything, including how to make gluten-free gravy, gluten-free sandwich bread, gluten-free cornbread. All you really need to do is replace some of the starchy things that people are used to, and then you put them into stuffing. Stuffing doesn't require anything but dry, stale bread, so anyone can do that.
A gluten-free dressing, though, so what are you replacing? So, first of all, you're having gluten-free bread.
Mm-hmm.
And then, that would be easy. What about gravy? What are you replacing the flour with, the all-purpose flour?
Gravy's easy. So, we use a combination. We have actually a gluten-free all-purpose flour mix that we've come up with on our website, but you could use any number of flours. Sweet rice flour is really great. It is very starchy. So if you were going to make the roux, all you would do is a little bit of sweet rice, equal parts butter and flour, and then you just make up that roux. The difference is in texture of the roux. The roux doesn't become a ball the way that we're used to with gluten. It's sort of more like a thick, slurry kind of liquid. So instead of adding the hot stock to the liquid, you just add the liquid to the hot stock. That's the only difference. And as you whisk and whisk and get all the lumps out, it becomes great gravy. Nobody can ever tell the difference.
Are you surprised at how, as you've done more research over these years, are you surprised at how easy it is to remove the ingredients you needed to remove and find substitutes?
I do. You know, in daily life, I don't even think about it other than this is my job and I write about it and I love that. But, you know, there's something about Thanksgiving. It is the starchiest holiday of all of them. You know, it relies upon one bready thing after another. And it's also so tied to emotion. People, you know, I can say until I'm blue in the face, hey, just make it a feast. Make it whatever you want. Everyone wants the Norman Rockwell painting. So that's why you have to work a little bit harder to try to replicate some of the familiar flavors and textures. But it's really not hard.
So speaking of that, Shauna James Ahern, author of Gluten-Free Girl, How I Found the Food That Loves Me Back and How You Can Too, and the Gluten-Free Girl blog. Speaking of that, the turkey. I was watching some of those videos, and I was surprised that turkey can be a concern depending on where you get it.
Yeah, you know, it sort of correlates with the cheaper turkeys. The ones that are, you know, we tend to buy in Seattle, they're more a little bit more organic, they've got, you know, naturally raised, those are fine. But anything that has fillers, sometimes they will use a flour water slurry to fill up the turkey to make the breast look plumper. And that's a lot of places where gluten will hide, is in sort of more processed foods where they're trying to make it look better.
Do you, so you look at what kind of turkey you may be getting, or do you avoid turkey altogether?
Oh, no, I'm not a vegetarian. We have a turkey, and it's easy. It's actually a lot easier to roast a turkey than people assume. If you just put it at a high heat for the first maybe 20, 30 minutes to get a nice crisp skin, and then you know, just put it down to maybe 375. You've got a turkey in a couple of hours. It doesn't have to be an all-day affair.
Yeah, yeah. What do you do for pies? Let's talk pies a little bit.
Oh, I love pies.
How are you getting the pie to have? Wasn't it when people were first making gluten-free pies? I seem to remember sometimes there were complaints about.
Oh yeah.
Texture and now sure. That's all been taken care of. What do you do to, you know, to make it seem like the Norman Rockwell pie?
Well, I always say the imperfect pie is better because it tastes just as good. But, you know, again, what I said at the beginning is really true. If you think about baked goods and gluten, what truly requires gluten? Gluten is that elastic protein in wheat and rye and barley, and it makes great breads, you know, really crusty baguettes. There are ways to do that gluten-free, but you don't want gluten for pie. If you think about when you make pie dough, what scares people and why they buy pre-bought pie shells is because if you start to overwork that dough at all, it becomes tough. Well, without any gluten in it, you can just touch it as much as you want. And the great thing is if when you're rolling out the pie dough, if it starts to fall apart, you just take part of the dough and pat it right into the pie pan, and it's just as flaky as it would be if you had made a perfect pie.
Is it?
So you just need a different set of flours, and we have that mix on our website. And we also came out with an iPad app for Thanksgiving this year, which is at gfthanks.com, and we can show you in videos exactly how to make that pie.
gfthanks.com is where you can get the app?
The app, exactly. And it's got all the baked goods you would need for Thanksgiving.
That's pretty good. You guys did an app just for the one season. Are you going to do one for Christmas, too?
Yep, we're working. I'm up to my elbows in Christmas cookies at home right now. We're doing a holiday baking. Because, again, you know, during the regular rest of the year, I'm very much about kale and brown rice and the things that are naturally gluten-free. But I know there's a sense of panic in people. They think, I'm not going to have that holiday I'm used to having with my family. You know, again, really it's about the gathering and about the laughter and about the fun. But people get really panicky. So, sure, let's make some gluten-free Christmas cookies. Let's make some gluten-free pie. It's easy.
Yeah, I think that sounds like an excellent idea. I like on your gluten-free dinner rolls for Thanksgiving. That's one of the recipes you have on your website.
Right, so right, and that's also on our app. You know, what's funny about gluten-free baking is sometimes you have to take a different route to get to the same place.
So how do you mean?
Well, for example, when I first started baking gluten-free, I expected bread dough to be the same consistency as bread dough with gluten. So I kept adding more and more flour, and then I would end up with these breads that were like, you know, you could hit an intruder with on the head with them. You know, they're just terrible. And what I realized, and this is true with dinner rolls too, is the batter needs to be much, much wetter when you're first done with it. It actually needs to look a little like pancake batter. You're like, what? That's not bread. But what you do is you use that, and the dinner rolls use muffin tins and just put that wet batter in there. Let them rise, and with the help of something called psyllium husk, which I'll tell you about in a moment, it actually becomes a bread dough. And so anyone can have dinner rolls. They just look like muffins.
Oh. What was that? What's that other ingredient?
Psyllium husk.
Now,
this is sort of new to me the last couple of years. Traditionally now, gluten-free baking uses something called xanthan gum. You might have seen that. It's all in a lot of processed foods as well. And it was used to replicate some of the properties of gluten. However, a lot of us who are gluten-free, including me, have digestive upsets with xanthan gum. So a couple of years I started trying to figure out a different way. And psyllium husk is actually what they make Metamucil out of. So that sounds appetizing. But it has this wonderful property that when you hit it with water, over the course of 5 to 10 minutes, it becomes this really thick, viscous gel. And that gel in baked goods means that really wet batter gets cinched up with the properties of the psyllium husk, and that's how you get bread dough.
That's great. Though I guess you'll have to think a little bit about, does it change your eating habits, all that psyllium in anything?
It's more regular.
Yeah.
It's not a bad thing. You know, I mean, you shouldn't be eating baked goods all day long anyway, but certainly when it comes to Thanksgiving. But it's like a teaspoon for a whole batch of dinner rolls, so it's hardly anything.
All right. Good tips, Sean. I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for talking about this.
Yeah. I'm sorry you got stuck in traffic, but I'm glad you were here.
I'm sorry that I can't bring you pumpkin bread.
Yeah. Well, Christmas.
Next time. Yeah, Christmas cookies. I'll be happy to bring those, and I'll make sure that the fairies aren't backed up next time.
Good. We'll take some calls with you. Shauna James Ahern writes the blog Gluten Free Girl. She's also author of Gluten Free Girl, How I Found the Food That Loves Me Back, and How You Can Too. Happy Thanksgiving.
You too, Steve. Have a great one.
Thank you. Speaking of Thanksgiving, it's the weather that we're going to think about as well. Michael Fagan is with West Coast Weather LLC. He helps people traveling the world figure out what the weather patterns will be like where they are going, whether they're ascending a tiny mountain or a really tall one. Michael, good to talk to you again.
Good to talk to you. I know a lot of people are going to be ascending a mountain called Snoqualmie Pass over the holiday weekend. And we're not looking at the heavy snows and rains that happened yesterday, record-breaking in many locations. For Snoqualmie Pass, it's going to be a tricky mix of rain and snow, high temperatures on Wednesday, because I know a lot of people are going to be traveling Wednesday. Highs about 35, 36, so right on the cusp of rain versus snow. We'll be cooling off later on Wednesday, so we might be looking at 3 to 6 inches of snow, more at Stevens Pass. But I know the skiers are really excited. Stevens, Crystal, and Mount Baker are going to be opening over the next several days, so that's good news. And for our hike, we have Clay Creek, which is off of Highway 410. It's near Crystal Mountain, and there's several things I like about this. There's no mountain passes to deal with. There's no flood issues. You park right off of Highway 410, and it's a road walk, so we're not dealing with any avalanche issues. In fact, this hike is pretty low elevation, so we're not going to be dealing with any snow. We topped out at 3,000 feet last week, and you could hike as little as 2.5 miles one way, 600-foot gain, so that's minimal type of elevation and mileage. Great views of White River, and there's a neat giant golf ball in the distance. I think that's owned by Boeing Field. It's used for communication purposes. And if the sun comes out again, which it might over the weekend, especially on Sunday, you get great views of Mount Rainier. And for this hike, you'll need the Hancock permit. They have a day permit. It's $8. I have a link on my site for that. And this Green Trails map, 237. And note, I know some people like to head over to Winthrop over the holiday weekend. That mountain pass is now closed. Highway 20 is now closed for the season. And Cayuse and Chinook Pass are also closed.
Wow. Tell me something. I heard, what have you seen in terms of north-south? I heard that there was some flooding, but not. I don't think on I-5 at all so far. But
no, I checked the websites, and you might want to, before your travels, Washington State Department of Transportation, call 511 and get updates on all the major roads as you travel. So that's great. And you could check out their website, www.wsdot.com. They have updates. And I didn't see any major roads. I-5 looked fine. Some roads on the peninsula, there were some issues. But the major mountain passes, Stevens and Snoqualmie, are in good shape right at this moment. And as you travel, you know, we talk about hiking with the 10 essentials, extra clothes, extra food. Also good to keep that in your car in case the mountain pass gets closed. You'll be prepared, and obviously make sure you have enough gas and chains if required.
What do you do for Thanksgiving, Michael?
We're going to just hang out here. And I know my son, my wife's a little mad at me that I got him so hooked on football. So we'll be watching the 3 football games and having some turkey in between. That keeps most of us happy.
Yes, and that's important.
That's right.
All right, sir. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. Same to you.
Thank you. We'll talk to you next week. Have good hikes, too. Michael Fagan, he joins us every Tuesday to give us a little bit of the weather forecast and a hike to go with the upcoming weather as well. You know, we were asking you for some from stories. Here's a couple of Thanksgiving stories. Worst Thanksgiving from Lisbeth. The potluck Thanksgiving meal was about to be served. My husband's 88-year-old mother lost her balance and fell in the process of pulling out of her dining room chair. Crying out in pain, it appeared she might have broken her hip. But the intensity of pain didn't seem to persist. There was a lot of denial going around. Everybody was hungry. We helped her up, got her into her chair at the table, said grace, proceeded to have a normal meal. Unexceptional, except for the niece's Cheerios stuffing. Cheerios stuffing, interesting. My mother-in-law's appetite wasn't significantly diminished. Within an hour, however, we knew we had to take her to the ER. She did have a broken hip. The surgery needed to be postponed, however, because she had eaten. Oh, man. All right, Sarah's story. During World War II, my dad worked in intelligence at Bletchley Park in England. He was billeted with several other American officers in a local farmhouse owned by a middle-aged widow. At Thanksgiving, she wanted the men to feel at home, so she prepared them a Thanksgiving meal. For dessert, she served a strange American dish she'd learned of, a pumpkin pie. The soldiers took one taste, then in embarrassment stopped eating. She'd been told to buy canned pumpkin, so she did. Then she poured it into a pie shell and baked it, not realizing other ingredients were required. The widow became my grandmother when my father married her lovely daughter, Sarah. That's very nice. Yeah, I guess you need a little few more things than just the pumpkin filling, right? My husband and I decided to let the turkey rest, Jane writes, while we took a walk around the neighborhood. We had a border collie puppy. Knowing she was a smarty pants, we put the turkey in the middle of the kitchen table in the center of the room and removed all four chairs. All right, well, we know where this is going. When we returned, the turkey was gone. After much searching, we found its remnants in a deep closet buried under a pile of clothes. Never figured out how she did it. Dogs can do that. They're magical.
And now, the sound of the day.
Stay. Sit. Sit. Stay.
So what you're hearing there is the sound of a squirrel frantically trying to find his way out of a have-a-heart trap, trying one side of the cage, then the other.
Stay.
And the person say, sit, stay. That's weekday listener Jane trying to control her poodle, Jennifer, who would really, really like to get a closer view of the trapped squirrel.
Stay. Sit. Sit. Stay.
Yeah, you can hear that squirrel. That poodle is, yeah. That squirrel doesn't sound heavy, but another reprieve. After recording the sound, Jane and Jennifer loaded the squirrel into the car, drove 4 miles to a nice wooded place, and released him. And I'm sure he was back in her attic within weeks. But there, or somebody replaced him. Good thing for those have-a-heart traps. What interesting sounds are you hearing? What does your day sound like when you determine to take care of something like a squirrel in the attic? You can send us your sound. Record 30 seconds of it. You have that smart device in your pocket. You may have some old recording equipment. Maybe you got some old Nagra reel-to-reel with a really old microphone, coil mic. Haul that out and record something with us. We'll have all those warm tones that you used to get when you recorded with reel-to-reel tape. Maybe even do a little editing with the razor blade and the splicing tape. All right, it's much easier now. You take your smartphone, you record 30 seconds of a sound. You can send it to us via email. weekday@kuow.org. Put sound of the day in the subject lines. We've heard some factory work. We've heard some an elephant. We're going to hear an elephant dancing. We've heard squirrels in traps. The world is full of sounds. Share them with us. We'll garden next hour. We're also going to talk about what it is to be having full of gratitude and Thanksgiving this time of year. And we're going to take a look at what's happening, the latest from the Middle East, as maybe they've even brokered a ceasefire. That's the latest news. We'll bring you up to date with Joel Migdal, the UW, right after news from NPR. So stick around.
Thanks for listening. The program you just heard was made possible by the financial support of our listeners. Support this program and others like it by making a pledge today at kuow.org.